Okay, so the point, we can't, in a certain way, we cannot observe these angelic beings directly. They're too big, in a certain way. They're too big. But we can observe their influence. We can observe ourselves. That's
right,
the whole point.
That's what it's saying.
We can observe ourselves while under that influence. Now, you might say, yeah, right. Big deal. What's that mean? Now, Ivan, were you here when we did the Shekinah and the Seamurg exercises?
I wasn't a part of that.
You weren't part of the
Seamurg? No.
I'll describe my memory of that event.
Mm-hmm.
This is an event that occurred over 25 years ago. I can't remember everybody that was in the circle that night, but I can remember many of the individuals. I can remember the layout of the room and exactly where I was sitting and what I did.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So then the question is, first of all, was I able to observe myself? The answer was yes. And then was I in my higher essential self rather than in the manifesting my mechanicality? I was not in my mechanicality.
Right.
All right? Just take that as an assumption for right now, okay? Now, this was a very complex transaction, and this was a transaction that took place over, I don't know, four...
On again.
Okay. We're online again. Okay, thank you, Marvette, for working on that.
Thank you.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And thank you, Claude, as well, for helping us once again
right.
on many, many, many things that he's helped us on. Okay, so during that evening, the space of the Seamurg exercise was, were you there? You weren't there. No, that's right. I remember now. Yeah. So there was a space. I had been in many, many so-called invocational dinners, Ivan.
Right.
And you've been in many invocational
yes.
dinners, but when there's 20, 30 people there, 30
right.
more, crammed into the living room,
mm-hmm.
and there's a dinner, and there's a very clear and distinct space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's just say that was the beginning tone of this particular space. It's not important what happened next or how what was going on, but after a series of rounds of the event, it became apparent that there was something else had descended. How do I describe that?
Mm-hmm.
So the way I describe it was, I had the sensation that a being larger than anybody there, in fact, it required the entire host to accept the being. I could feel the body of that entity, and I could feel its tail, which was the interesting thing, which went down the hallway to the kitchen, like from what is the living room now, where that was the dining, that's where we'd eat. And it was like the tail went all the way further, as far, a long way, of the Seamurg. So at that time, I could feel like it's not like something possessed me so much as rather I felt part of something.
Right.
And it was, and I had the distinct sensation that everybody there also was part of that one thing. All right? And I could feel how it moved. I could feel a kind of, oh yeah, I am on, right? I could feel kind of a graceful movement, the kind of the curvature of this entity as its tail went back along the way. And it felt like it had wings. I don't know more than that. And this was, I was feeling that then before I even knew what the Seamurg was. I don't even remember if I've read that talk, actually. Okay? So that's one event. Another specific event, the circumstances aren't important, but it was an event where this particular group of individuals was under a particular type of scrutiny. It was like a Bardo test or a invocational test. And I was part of the gallery, I was part of something. And at this particular point, I was in a very receptive, very state of surrender, okay? An active state of surrender. Now this is not a passive state. We want to think of being in surrender, being passive. Oh yeah, I can be in surrender. And 2 seconds later, you're snoring. No, this is a powerfully active state. All right, it's heavy, intense attention is occurring. I'm in this state, and at a certain point, I felt like something then was using my body to look at the event that was occurring in front of me. The thing that was so odd about it, and I note to this day, was the manner in which my head moved. Because it was almost as if my head, my neck elongated, and then I was then looking in a particular way, different than the way my human biological machine normally works. How did I know that? It was right there in that first paragraph. Mm-hmm. Because I had intensely observed my human biological machine.
Right.
I knew what it was like, and so I felt a different sensation. Mm-hmm. This was not me projecting, because I had nothing to project, right? I didn't even know it. And I don't know what entity that was. I would expect that it was some very minor angel of some sort doing a job. And that's the point I want to make. It was there to do a job. Now, here's the interplay. When the Seamurg exercise is occurring, now you're talking to a neophyte. I am the neophyte. I don't know what was going on, I'm a blank slate. I don't know this stuff. But when that was occurring, I felt that this group of, I'd say there were at least 30 individuals there. There were 30 individuals there. And that 30 individuals acted as a host to allow this thing to look around. Because that's something we can do, right? We have these things here, these bodies, these human biological machines with which we are able to do things. Like I can lift a book up. I don't know that an angel can do that. And as we read through our chapters about our various, you know, the wardens of our various halls, we realize that these are posts that these things are taking on. This is not small things. These aren't like, oh, how cool. My angels, I really like my angel. you know, it's...
I do really like my angel.
Yeah, well, you've gone down the road, buddy, too. You've absorbed quite a bit about it. And the one that we can't say its name, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But it is more than just liking it. It is a post.
It's more than warm and cuddly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a job.
That's, pardon?
It's a job.
Okay, that's what I want to get to. I want to get away from the new age warm and cuddly, because this is the part of it that is the opportunity here, and I believe in these two chapters, the author is telling us, here's like the sly man's way into the work, right? Like, if you can do this, it's like maybe you can do a little bit of the work right then. We don't even know what that is, do we? It's got a big W.
Yeah.
We don't really know what it is. Kind of, we'll try to get a little bit close to it. But it has to do with this thing that Susan's talking about, taking on a post. Are we able to take on a post? This is, can you stand in the place that is the characteristic that is exhibited by, or the one or two characteristics that are exhibited by your, that angel you're talking about? In the email I sent out, I noticed that the phrase I chose at the very end is, we're gonna come forth with our guardian choirs. The guardian choirs. And the reason is, long ago there was a talk about, the obligation. And remember the medicine ball?
Yeah, vaguely.
Vaguely.
Not real clearly.
Okay, so this had to do with your job was to hold the medicine ball. But it's kind of easy to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the first few minutes. After a while, it starts, you notice that it's heavy. And it's, and you're not able to set it in your lap, and there's no place to, you may not set it down, but your job is to continue to hold that, and there's no one around. There is no one there, but yet you must do it. And there's a element of this particular kind of work that we're talking about that is, I will do this post. That's the post, though. It's not one like, sure, I'll do that. You know? It's like Atlas Shrugged, yeah.
Well, and you think about some of these subordinate angels having to hold their post even when they're not called on.
Even when they're not called on. If you read toward the end of the chapter, and I think we got a little sidetracked with the mechanical issues today, but still, if we read through the chapter, you can see, as you get toward the end of it, it talks about the seven choirs, that if we had a real church, we'd have the seven choirs there. The seven choirs would be there, and in turn, they would take on the post of hosting the throne. Each one in their own way. Each one with their own song. You'll notice that EJ does a great deal of music, that this is very important to him and his expression. He does this a lot. So, I don't know exactly why I got off on all of that, but I did.
Talking about observing the machine, the Simurgh experience.
Does anybody have a copy of Gareth Knight's work on Kabbalah and its symbolism on hand. Mark, do you have that? In the second volume of that, he talks about there's the Sephiroth, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are 10 of them. But each one is linked to a path, is linked. So there are, my memory is that there are 21 paths. Is that correct? The connectors represent 21 paths. So another event that I want to share is that something was going on, and when it was done, the declaration was, that was, and then a particular path was mentioned. So, what are we talking about here? We started out by talking about the idea that this is, in a sense, kind of, we're already way beyond where we were with HDM and all that. We're now focused on the work of the essential self and its movement within the vast area called the initiations or the invocational space, right? Oh, we're in the invocational space. What's invocational space is now what we're starting to ask. And when Raphael and when that chamber does its group, that's the invocational space we're in. We're in the invocational space of the second hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the invocation. And so that's the notation when we are in that space for us to notate our own, what is the response of my human biological machine when I am in that space? That's when we start to pick up the tonality of that particular space. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the suggestion is, and it's a profound suggestion, this is truly advanced work that UJ Gold is presenting in this chapter, and then the next chapter is postgraduate. But in this chapter, he's actually saying, okay, good, you got here. You showed up. Now what? Now he's saying, work with your discernment to distinguish this particular invocational space. Path World, are you still there? Did she get off the phone? Is she online? Okay. The reason I call on her is she's an individual that for 15 or 20 years has been doing something almost every month, the same thing over and over and over again. How boring, right? Path World, is it really boring? Because it's the same thing? Can she hear me? No, she said. 15 years, and she's doing exactly the same thing almost every single month. And what she does is she opens her home, the yard of her home, and she has two well-manicured labyrinths. By labyrinth, we're talking about the classical labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go into that in great detail, but the classical labyrinth. And then people walk the labyrinth. Okay? Now let me ask you something, Path World. Does that space have a particular tonality to it when you do it? Can you discern that tonality from other invocational spaces? Absolutely. Yes and yes. And I can too. I've been in that space. Okay, I know it well. For instance, take the space neither you nor Hawk Lady, I don't think either one of you do the sweat lodges, but that sweat lodge, when it was happening on her property, has a very clear and distinct space. Right? It smells exactly like it should. Okay? That's the point here, is that now is to start to sense the different vibratory sensations when you are in those different spaces and mark them, like the Karen, that we're marking our path here.
Right.
So part of what we're going to do in these presentations, starting in 2 weeks, is we're going to have a particular tone. I'm not going to be one of the singers if we're going to sing. But it is different than the labyrinth, she says. She's distinguishing and declaring that this discernment. That takes a particular kind of work. And the more we work in that regard, somebody called, sent something to me the other day, and they said they're not able to stay in their body very much right now, literally in the last couple of days. And what's happening is that they're disconnecting as a focal point. Their body is no longer the focal point.
Right.
And it's like, oh, what's happening? I'm disoriented. You go through that, right? But you've done, that's happened, and you reach out. Different speeds, and it's disorienting because our primary orientation happens to be the body. So if we start to lose the orientation, then we're disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as that, we're disoriented until we establish a different orientation principle. So Molly is telling us that part of it is that being able to stand the sensations.
And then you can go there.
And then you can go there. Let me expand on that, okay? Some of the spaces that we have been in have an intensity of vibratory force that is almost unbearable. It is unbearable by normal human beings, I guarantee you. And because of that, people are eliminated from the space. I've told the story many times of when there's the deep invocational lectures, and as the evening progresses, people leave the space. And how do they leave the space?
Falling asleep.
They fall asleep. By the end of the evening, there's 2/3 of the individuals are asleep. EJ doesn't slow down. He knows that's part of the event. They're just not meant to be in that particular chamber as it goes boom, 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 up, 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 up. That's okay because they were needed for the previous chamber, weren't they? So these are the things that we're up against now. These are the opportunities before us. So with the opportunity with the angels, talk to our friends about angels now, it's because it allows us to begin to form a discernment about Bardo traveling that will be critical.
Critical.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I thought I heard somebody. Okay. If Path World said something online, I feel it now, but it's not nice, right? Did I get it right? And it's not nice. When we say not nice, Pathworld and also Susan, I would suggest that you read Chapter 2 of Practical Work on Self. All right? The nice part is that also we're going to get into this a lot when we do the ABD. And by the way, Pat has offered to sit with us when we do the ABD.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, that's going to be in 2 months,
mm-hmm.
3 months, I don't know. We're going to do the ABD not as a course, We're going to do it as a study of the literature itself, and I'm going to relate it to a lot of stuff, okay? But anyway, right now, so if you read the ABD, if you've ever done a reading, have you ever done a reading, the 49-day reading? Many times. Expert. Few. I've done it. If you recall, isn't there a term, something about cleansing radiations? Did you ever hear this?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Molly is telling us who I consider first level expert in the area. So when the term cleansing radiation, she says, what did she say again? It always tends to land. Uncomfortable areas of the human biological machine. So what's happening, Path World is doing a meditation over and over and over again for 15 years, 20 years on the same principle, and she's deriving from that cleansing radiation. That part she can't control. And the machine is cleansed. There's a cleansing process. The angelic bodies are, it's not a matter of good, bad, or otherwise. It's a matter of more intense radiations. So if we can allow, it's important to read that chapter 2, you guys, and allow yourself to be hit by a more mature cleansing radiation, at that point, if you can accept that, that's the whole point here. Yeah, so sometimes what Molly is saying is that energy has a hard time staying with that biological formation. Sometimes it's a size feeling, and that can very easily be because, in my opinion, the willingness to stay in that post that you have exceeds your ability. It does open up. Okay, and so she says maybe the machine then starts to open up. So the machine starts to open up, and this is what we call parting of the Red Sea. And it gets to a point that if you can allow yourself to be impinged upon by a cleansing radiation for 1 second, one second, just allow yourself to be in this active surrender. Mm-hmm. Active surrender, then it allows you to be burned by the cleansing radiation. Well, what the heck do I mean by that? Right? What do I mean burned by the cleansing radiation? Guess? You have a guess. Some of the readings in ABD make her cry, Path World says. But also, Lost Horizon is about to tell us what we mean by cleansing radiation. Yes, and the machine. Don't forget, part of our purpose of life here is that so that these human biological machines act as transformational apparatuses. Yeah. So the machine has to experience the presence of the radiation. And if you don't like your mother, it's got to burn that away so you can accept more energy. You got to read this chapter 2 in Practical Work on Self, because our blockages, our suffering, and is what creates the blockages to our ability to accept this higher grace. It's all a matter of grace. and accepting grace. But I'll tell you something, we're not talking about bunny, you know, cute pink bunnies here. Accepting the kind of grace we're talking about is true transformation, where the human biological machine is being placed electrically in alignment with this higher force that we're touching upon now. So that's the work we have ahead of us as choirs, is to help the rest of the group have a sense of what it feels like to be in the presence of Aniel.
It's a bit like your machine has to be tuned to that energy. Burning away is part of that tuning.
Yeah, it's actually not a burning away, it's aligning. And this thing is in the way. And this... a quantum disentanglement happens. Only the radiations will go in for those entanglements,
mm-hmm.
and only because it's a hindrance to the higher work. It's
well, if it's a cleansing radiation, that will magnify it, won't it? Tamara says she's remembering an experience when she came here. DJ was sitting at the far end of the table doing art.
And I began to see radiation.
She began to see a blue radiation emanating
from him.
From him.
And I began to experience
burning around the heart area.
It was almost as if hearing
when she left, for several days it felt like it was almost bruised in this area because it was a cleansing of emotional sentimentality.
So part of our work then is in a sense to put ourselves in the way of cleansing radiations to the extent that we're able to. And then that'll help that machine that we were gifted to have here on this planet Earth become more functional as a transformational apparatus. And it allows the essential self then to have more place, more standing in all of this. Yes. It's staying with it. When you are, I've been in certain spaces where individuals had to leave the space because it was too intense, whatever that means, right? And so our work in this regard is feeling that in the intensity of that cleansing radiation and opening to it, there's an acquiescence is maybe the better word than surrender.
So long as nothing hurts, that's great. There's liable to be some tension, something somewhere that'll make it excruciating. And then only later it can become good. Right. Well, this is the rebirth scenario that's described in the Book of the Dead, which is that if you look for refuge, if you recoil because of pain or fear, because of the intensity of the sensation, then you're liable to hide from the benefit.
Yeah, having
So now we can see why. We can see now why the ABD is the natural selection after this.
Right.
It's because we are preparing ourselves to, in a sense, to be the voyager. We are leaving the land of being biological machines, in a sense, to, in a sense, owning the space called I am a voyager.
Molly recommends Highlander.
As a movie. She,
as a film to watch.
And what happened in that movie is that he was intense, there was an intense amount of energy came through, and in the various stages that he went through, he had to absorb that in order to take his post. So once again, it has to be not only absorbing the energy in a general sense, but now we're talking about absorbing the energy in the specific angelic choir that you selected. And if you feel that sense, path world and the rest of us, that sense of slight danger.
Yeah,
you're not absorbing it. See, that's exactly a good distinction. You're not absorbing it. Allowing yourself to allow it to, well, you're a host for a moment,
yeah.
Queen for a day,
okay.
and you allow it to sit there, and in some cases it allows that entity to exist in the manner that it's supposed to for that moment or two. If it's right, it's nice. Sometimes it is sweet. And sometimes it's just good work. These are practices that we're developing. What are the four lines again? Does anybody remember?
The all phenomena.
All phenomena is illusion. Neither attracted nor repel. And then
not making any sudden moves.
Not making any sudden moves. Think of that in this space now. Not making any sudden moves. What's the last line? What habits? Now my habits will carry me through. What habits are we developing now that we will use to carry ourselves through those spaces? And that's the work. And we have a hand up.
I'm afraid I'll wake up empty.
Molly is afraid she'll wake up in one of those cribs one day. Are you talking about a rebirth scenario?
Yeah,
no,
I will. It will be fresh in my mind for a second that we were going really well.
What happened?
Mm-hmm.
So this was a kind of a strange evening. We kind of, I don't know if we were on topic or off topic or what, but we had a bumpy start. But I think we got some interesting things shared, and we're way over time. And I appreciate everybody's
right.
time in allowing us to stay this long. So,
okay.
Thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing many of us next week. So good night.
Well, that was great, David. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.
Everybody
online there.
Great description. Great descriptions. Thanks.
Good.